Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So earlier in the show, we gave you Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft. And the latest mock draft, he had Abdul Carter going 1 to Tennessee, Cam Ward going 2 to Cleveland, and then the Giants passing on a quarterback and taking Travis Hunter when Shedeur Sanders is on the board. So that was his latest mock draft. In his first mock draft, he had Abdul Carter going 1, Travis Hunter going 2, and then the Giants taking a quarterback at 3, and that was Cam Ward. So when he posted this latest mock draft, someone said to him, what changed with now the Giants no longer taking a quarterback? And right, you could easily say, oh, well, you know, I moved Cam Ward up from 3 to 2 and Cam Ward's not there. So maybe, right, he doesn't like Shedeur Sanders for the Giants, right? Could that be a possibility? Well, Daniel Jeremiah's response to the person that asked him about this, and it was on Twitter, was a GIF. And the GIF was Matthew Stafford after winning the Super Bowl doing the little wave. So that's Daniel Jeremiah, who's a plugged-in guy, right? It's not as if it's with the draft. He's like the Schefter of the draft. But just because you're predicting things in the mock draft doesn't mean that it's always going to be right. But that has to mean something. So whether that's him just buying the smoke that's out there, or if someone kind of told him something, hey, monitor this. Now, Jordan Rodrigue, who covers the Rams for The Athletic, she does a great job. She had this in her latest article. It's not a given that Stafford will remain with the Rams despite both sides' initial openness to work out a deal. The Rams have to recognize that the most competitive path forward is for Stafford to return for another year and one more run while he continues to play at a high level. But the fact that Coach Sean McVay and General Manager Les Snead didn't overly commit to Stafford in the season-ending news conference basically signaled their open phone lines for a potential trade. Overall, the Rams will not spend big money or trade draft capital on a quarterback unless they believe he is their present and their future. The latter component is one of the reasons Stafford's status even remains in question. My sense is that many within the organization want to get something done with Stafford, but are also thinking about the ascending young group of players, including some with early contract extensions coming due over the next 2 years. There's a financial point and/or term limit the Rams are unlikely to cross, even if Stafford undoubtedly gives them their best chance to make a run in 2025. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the Rams are saying, Matt, we'll rework your contract, but we're not adding on any years. So we'll give you more money. That's the way that I took it. But we're not giving you any more years. So right now, Matthew Stafford has 2 years left on the contract. His cap hit for this upcoming season is $49.6 million. Next year, it's $53.6 million. So the base salary with the signing bonus comes down to right now $35 million in 2025, just the base and the signing, and that's $38 million, right, per year, those next 2 years. How much more is he looking to get? That's the question. I don't know the answer to that. Now, Matthew Stafford right now, I think, is the seventh best quarterback in football. We've talked about this. 1 in my rankings, Patrick Mahomes. 2, Josh Allen. 3, Lamar Jackson. 4, Joe Burrow. 5, Jalen Hurts. 6, Jaden Daniels. And then 7th, Matthew Stafford. You know, he's anywhere between 6 to 8 in the NFL, I think, Matthew Stafford still as a quarterback. So in that report from The Athletic, they are not willing to spend big money or trade draft capital on a quarterback unless they believe he is their present and their future. So does Les Snead and Sean McVay, do they view Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward a part of their future? I would probably say not. And then also for the Rams to get up and move up from where they are currently right now, where the Rams sit at the 26th pick to get into the top 3, or even if Shedeur starts to fall, the top 5 or the top 6, that's going to cost too much. So I think we could take off the table with the Rams, them in the first round getting a quarterback. that's name is Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. You know, if they're sitting there at 26 and like a quarterback, I don't think there's a third quarterback that should go in the first round. But hey, Sean McVay sees the position differently than I do. So if you're not willing to get a deal done with Stafford, who else are you willing to give money to? Sam Darnold's a potential option. Personally, I'm keeping Stafford over Sam Darnold. That's me. I know Sam Darnold's younger. I know Sean McVay's a whiz kid. We just saw Sam Darnold in a situation in Minnesota where he was with Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. You had Aaron Jones. You had a good offensive-minded coach. You know, it doesn't get much better than that. And at the end of the year, Sam Darnold was dog crap up against the Lions and then dog crap up against the Rams. So why would the Rams go give a 3 or 4 year deal to Sam Darnold when they could just find a way to readjust this contract with Matthew Stafford? Now, if Stafford wants more years, I'd be willing to give him more years. You know, if he wants another year, 2 years, you know, he needs another year. Okay, I'm fine with that. But after that, you know, he's 37 and right, he's talked about retirement. If you want to lock him up there through 40 for three total years, right? 37, 38, 39, let's just say. Yeah, I'm good with that. But I'm not extending it more than probably a year. So that, like, how much does he want? I'll boost up your salary these next 2 years. That's the easiest thing, I think. Right? Keep the contract. You know, like, remember what Tyreek Hill happened with the Dolphins? He got a new deal, sort of. Wasn't more years. But they just boosted up the money on the years that were there now. So that's what you could do here. But is Stafford willing to do that? But if it comes down to giving maybe Stafford an extra year or two that you don't want to, or paying Sam Darnold, I'm doing that with Stafford. That's number one. Here's the other one. What about Aaron Rodgers? Now, I know Aaron Rodgers, right? 2 years ago, Achilles injury. This past year, slow start, fine finish. Rodgers probably only looking to play another year. Do you just get rid of Stafford, get some capital back for him, and you go to Rodgers for a year? Now, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, but I think right now Stafford's the better quarterback. And that means that you're putting all your chips in for 1 year to go win a Super Bowl when Aaron Rodgers, when he was with the Green Bay Packers at the end, had multiple opportunities to get to the Super Bowl with the good team and couldn't get the job done. So I would prefer paying Stafford, but the, like, Stu, Rodgers for a year, it does make you pause for a second, and it makes you at least think about it. Right, doesn't it? What would you do there?
I mean, I'd rather have Stafford at this point.
Same. I would too.
But if not, it's probably the best. It's probably the best of the options for them. Because like you said, I don't think they're going to get high enough in the draft to get one of these two quarterbacks.
Yeah. So if Stafford's not willing to play a decently fair game with the contract, I'm not paying Darnold. You know, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, stop. Kirk Cousins, stop. If it means that you just got to go stopgap for a year that you could still win with, you know, I don't think you win a Super Bowl with Rodgers. But that only gives you 1 year. Like, Stafford go play for another 2 to 3 years. You know, I was talking to Herm Edwards over the weekend. And I was talking to him when I was hosted on WFAM. And I asked Herm about Stafford. And he goes, I don't get why the Rams would trade him. But he goes, if they do, and we were talking about the Giants, right? Talking to New York audience then, you know, send the jet for him. And I go, even at 37? And he goes, yeah, I get it. 37's up there in age. But we've seen quarterbacks play into their mid to late 30s and even early 40s. So if you're bringing in Stafford, you're at least getting 2 years. You could get a third year from him. Because I think if Stafford gets traded, the new team is at least going to tack on another year to that contract. But once again, I go back to this. The Rams should want to bring him back, and Stafford should want to come back. Because if you're Matthew Stafford, and you say, hey, the Rams aren't giving me what I want, screw them, I won them a championship, I'm out. Where are you going? Where are you going where you have a chance to win another Super Bowl? Giants, you're not winning a Super Bowl. The Jets, you're not winning a Super Bowl. Even if you got traded to Pittsburgh, you're not winning a Super Bowl. So when you look for Matthew Stafford and the Rams and Matthew Stafford have to get in a room and they have to iron this out. Whether it's just giving him more money on these final 2 years of his contract, or even if it's giving him an extra year or two on that deal that he has right now, where you may regret it, but in this next 2 years, you got a chance to go win another Super Bowl. You do. And think about what happens when you get a second Super Bowl. Like, we all love McVay. McVay gets a second Super Bowl, it takes you to a different level. Matthew Stafford, you get a second Super Bowl, it takes you to a different level. And that Rams team is right there at the end up against Philadelphia in the snow. So why would the Rams move on from Stafford over money? And why would Stafford leave the Rams? And if it's about money, you could find a way to meet in the middle. You could find a way to make both parties happy. Because the alternative for both is a messy one. For Stafford, you're not going to a better team. And the Rams, you're not finding a better quarterback right now than Matthew Stafford to go take advantage of whatever window this group has left, which I still think is a Super Bowl window. And you could find a way, and you never know if you get that quarterback again if he walks out the door. So I think they got to get a deal done here. Both parties. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. So Ross Dellinger had this article out yesterday. And he talked about, right, the SEC and the Big Ten are hunkering down to expand the college football playoff. Right, you need to have that new deal for 2026 where you have the expiration date. And we already saw last year the expansion to 12 teams. So you saw expansion to 12 teams. For the regular season, I think it worked because everyone stubbed their toe. The actual college football playoff this year, I didn't think it was that great. The buildup to it was fun, but the first round game stunk. The second round game, you had that good one between Texas and Arizona State at the end. You know, outside of that, the games weren't good. And then the semifinals, you had a good game between Texas and Ohio State. Notre Dame, Penn State was good. And the national championship game, it looked like it was going to be a blowout. And then Notre Dame made a little bit of a comeback, and then Jeremiah Smith in single coverage down the right sideline, ball game, donezo, good night. National championship for Will Howard, Jeremiah Smith, and also Ryan Day. So really, right, I don't think there was another game. You had four good games. Texas, Arizona State, which that was really fun. Then you had the two semifinal games, and then the national championship game. Slow start, but it, you know, gave you a reason to watch at the end. And that was my biggest thing. Because even when we only had a four-team playoff, the semifinal game sucked then. And I never really felt, or rarely did I feel, that we needed more teams in the college football playoff. But I knew inevitably it would expand. And I said if I was expanding, I would only go to six or eight teams. And I knew they would go more because they're greedy. And the first jump was from 4 to 12. So when you go from 4 to 12, you know eventually they'll add on a few more teams. So here are the two formats that they're discussing. And both would behoove the SEC and the Big Ten, because right, they're the big players in college football. 14-team format. Four SEC teams, automatic bids. Four Big Ten teams, automatic bids. Two ACC teams, automatic bids. Two Big 12 teams, automatic bid. And then one automatic bid to a non-Power 5 conference champ. And basically that last spot to get to 12 would usually be reserved for Notre Dame. And then if Notre Dame isn't up to par, then it would just go to someone else at large. In a 16-team format, well, before we get to 16, in a 14-team format, you have two buys. In a 16-team format, four SEC spots, four Big Ten spots, two ACC, two Big 12, one non-Power 5, and then three at-large spots, no buys. I don't like that format. I don't. I think you at least have to have a buy somewhere, and you have two buys here in the 14. You know, four could be too many in the 12, but then you're adding two more teams, which I don't love. But in a 14, I don't want to take away really much from the regular season. If you don't even have the SEC and the Big Ten, and hey, you could say, well, whoever wins the SEC and the Big Ten, they're going to get the buys anyway. But you at least got to give me more incentive in the regular season. If you just go to 16 and it's a free-for-all, you know, everyone gets in and there's no buys, I don't love that. And then also the note in this article, conference championship weekend for the Big Ten and then also for the SEC. Since 1 and 2 are going to be in because you get four spots guaranteed, they would then do a play-in, potentially 3 plays 6 and 4 plays 5 in the Big Ten and the SEC to determine who gets those final two spots. Not a fan of that. You play an entire regular season. At the end of the regular season, if you're 6 or 5 in that conference, you don't deserve to go. You don't. The one thing I liked about this, in the article it says, you could potentially see the SEC and the Big Ten play each other annually. So Ross wrote, a 9th SEC conference game, right, that would be added in this because there's more, you could have a little bit more flexibility with the schedule. You could play most of the SEC where they would stay at 8 in years past is because it's like, oh, you don't want to go up against our own and then you end up harming SEC schools trying to get into the playoff. But if they add a 9th conference game, a 9th SEC conference game would then set in motion a scheduling agreement with the Big Ten, which itself already plays 9 league games. The scheduling agreement, though, still in the discussion stages, would pit SEC and Big Ten teams against one another in annual games to be sold as separate television packets. So clearly TV money right there. If you give me SEC up against Big Ten, like I know this year, right, you always get like a matchup here or there. You know, this upcoming year, we're going to see Texas play. Texas up against Ohio State. If we get something like that on a yearly basis, now I don't know how it will work out, but you're giving me at least a formula of SEC schools playing Big Ten schools annually, I'm all for that. Now, how they devise that, how they determine who plays who, that's up to them. But here's what I would do. I would not go to 14. I would not go to 16. Now, we know they're going to go to 14 or 16. It's all about the money, right? That's what it is. It's all about greed. I think you're watering down the regular season. Now, I would say go to 8. That's what I would do. But I know once you've already got the toothpaste out of the tube, you're not going to be able to put it back in. So I would just keep it at 12. And the two things I would suggest, one's possible, the other one's not. So let's get to the one that's unrealistic first. In the first two rounds, you get a home game. First round, you get a home game. But the bye schools get a home game. Now, they won't do that because of all the affiliations with the major bowls. They won't do that. So here's what I would do. Because clearly it's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten and then everybody else. I don't need to guarantee spots, but I know the Big Ten and the SEC won't be willing to do that. So I would keep it at 12. And right, can't you guarantee 3 to the SEC, 3 to the Big Ten? So that's 6 spots right there. The 2 other conference champions, so that makes it 8. Then you get your non-Power 5 conference champion, that makes it 10. And then you get 2 more spots out there for Notre Dame, whoever. Like, that's what you could do right now. Now, it's clear the SEC and the Big Ten, they want to get 4 schools in each and every year. That's what they want to do. Because in this current format that you have right now, it could you may not always get that as we just seen this past year. But then the ACC and the Big 12, they're going to be like, hey, what about us? You know, we're the little big guys here. They're going to want another school added in, even though, right, you saw the ACC get 2 in this year and the Big 12 only get 1. So that's why you're going to see it go to 14 or 16. If it goes to 16, it just becomes an SEC and Big 10 slobber fest. And I love to slobber over the SEC and the Big 10, don't get me wrong. But you're already guaranteeing 4 spots in the 14 or 16 team format. So then if you tell me in the 16, there's 4 SEC, 4 Big 10, 2 ACC, 2 Big 12, 1 non-Power 5, and then 3 at-large spots. So what is it always going to be? Notre Dame, and then the other 2 spots will be 1 SEC, 1 Big 10? I don't need to see 5 SEC and 5 Big 10 teams in. I don't. So if I was running this, I would keep it at 12, and then I wouldn't guarantee a bye to your 4 highest-ranked conference champions. But if you're one of those 5 schools that get in because you won your conference championship, you just get to be a top 8 seed. That's the only thing I'll put in. So therefore, right, you may not get a bye, but at least you get a home game if you don't get a bye. So that's what I would do. But I think they're going to go to either 14 or 16, according to this reporting. And if that's the case, I'm hoping for the smaller number of 14, but it's just watering down the product, in my opinion. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll talk some quarterbacks next. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Fun show so far. Appreciate Avante Maddox from the Philadelphia Eagles joining us at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Coming up tomorrow, Cooper DeJean is going to join us from the Philadelphia Eagles. So we're looking forward to that conversation with Cooper DeJean, who had the big pick 6 for the Eagles. Made it 17-0 in the game. So we will have Cooper on tomorrow, and good stuff with Avante Maddox from earlier today. If you missed any of it, you could use the rewind function on the free Odyssey app, and you could just go back to today's episode from 4 p.m. Eastern time, or you could catch it on our YouTube page as well, where we'll have the entire interview uploaded. Or if you need another option, you go to my Twitter page, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B, and I have a link right in my bio. Make sure you follow when you're there, obviously, Twitter, Instagram. But I got a link in my bio that goes directly to our podcast feed, where you could find all of our segments that we do have for you right here on the Infinity Sports Network for our show. All righty, without further ado, Stu, give me some NFL music. And Stu has put together a list of a bunch of quarterbacks, and he's going to have me pick which quarterback would I rather have for this upcoming season of 2025. What do we got?
All right, first up, Trevor Lawrence or Kyler Murray?
It's a good one because both have kind of been defined by injuries so far, up and down play. I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence. I just think he's the better player. And I look at him the last 2 years, it's been disappointing, but he hasn't fully been healthy. I know the same could be said for Kyler Murray, but I just think the ceiling is higher for Trevor Lawrence, and he's a bigger quarterback. I just wonder if Kyler Murray is a little bit too fragile to play in this league.
All right, what about Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
That's the most controversial one, I think, these days. It's a very heated conversation. I go, even though I'm going to say Josh, and the difference for me is two things. One, Josh has now defeated Lamar twice in the postseason. And then number two, I know that Lamar had 40-something touchdown passes this year, but I just think Josh is more valuable to his team than Lamar, and it's slightly in this tiebreaker. I have Lamar as the third-best quarterback in the league, and Josh is the second-best quarterback in the league. Josh Allen has a lot less around him. That's good offensive line, don't get me wrong, but you got James Cook as your best offensive weapon. Lamar Jackson, I know this hasn't always been the case, but he has Derrick Henry. So I just think there is more asked of Josh Allen, and I think that gives Josh Allen being the edge slightly the better player. So I will go Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. And Josh and Lamar, too, they both haven't got the job done in the postseason. But when the Bills lose, it's never because of Josh Allen. You look at the Ravens, I know this year not because of Lamar Jackson, but in previous years, it has been because of LJ. All right, next one.
All right, you touched on this a little last segment. Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers?
I'd go Stafford. I think Stafford's the better player right now. The better career clearly has been Aaron Rodgers. But Matthew Stafford right now is the seventh best quarterback in football. I don't even know where you would rank Rodgers right now. Because Rodgers didn't play 2 years ago because of the injury. And this past year, slow start, good finish. Like right now, if you're telling me quarterbacks in the NFL going into 2025, Mahomes 1, Allen 2, Lamar Jackson 3, Joe Burrow 4, Jalen Hurts 5, Jaden Daniels 6, Matthew Stafford 7, then the conversation opens. If you ask me tomorrow, would I rather have C.J. Stroud or Aaron Rodgers for the first game of 2025, I'd rather have C.J. Stroud. And I'll throw one. You know what, Stu? I just gave you 8 names. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Matthew Stafford, C.J. Stroud. I started to do a draft today. That's what I'm looking down on my screen. Of my top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. I left the 10th spot open, but I did put a 9th name in there. Who do you think the 9th name is if I'm telling you it's not Aaron Rodgers?
Jordan Love?
It is not Jordan Love.
Is it Justin Herbert?
It is not Justin Herbert. I considered Herbert. I considered Love. I considered Rodgers and a few others. But who do you think that other guy is? It's an underrated name. Guy had a wonderful season, though. He's been really good the last 2 years.
Got really anything? Good the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I don't think people realized how many touchdown passes
he threw this year. Oh, Baker Mayfield.
Right? Yeah. Baker Mayfield threw for 4,500 yards this past year, completed almost 72% of his passes, and threw for 41 touchdowns. Right? Going into next year, would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Aaron Rodgers?
Baker Mayfield.
And then the 10th spot, I think it's up for debate. Like, you could talk about Dak. You could talk about Tua. You could talk about Justin Herbert. You could talk about Aaron Rodgers. Right? There's a lot of guys there that you could talk about. But I think it's obvious that right now, Matthew Stafford is the better quarterback for next season than Aaron Rodgers. So I go Stafford over Rodgers.
All right, what about Jaden Daniels or Jalen Hurts?
I'm going to go Jalen Hurts. Now, Jaden Daniels had an unbelievable season. Maybe before Jalen Hurts won the Super Bowl MVP, you would say that it is Jaden Daniels, right? And Jaden Daniels is an electrifying, stupendous player. I just got to see more. And I've been a huge fan of Jaden Daniels. I wanted my team to be able to get him in the draft. Now, I'm okay with them end up getting Drake May, more than okay with them getting Drake May, but I wanted them to go get Jaden Daniels, and it ended up that was not the case with Jaden Daniels going 2 and then Drake May going 3. But with that being said, Daniels or Hurts, I just got to see what happens from year 1 to year 2 with Jaden Daniels, because last year, right, we were talking about C.J. Stroud as a top 5 quarterback in the league, and C.J. Stroud was fine this year, but he wasn't as great as what he was the year before. And Jalen Hurts now has been to 2 Super Bowls and outplayed Mahomes twice in the big game. So I will go Jalen Hurts over Jaden Daniels. What is the next team? What happened to the music, by the way?
Yeah, the computer kind of malfunctioned.
Oh, so we had a malfunction?
Yeah. The program just closed.
We're like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. We're a no-show on this radio program.
Put on the flip side.
Yeah, it's all right. You know, we have been a technical disaster, I feel like, for the last month. There we go.
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah. Someone's trying to sabotage my show.
I think so. That's got to be it.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think Ack's playing games. He's playing games. You're up to no good. You got a mischievous look on your face.
Ack's playing with the computer.
Yeah. It's not my fault. It's always Ack, someone else's fault. Okay. Next one. Go ahead.
All right. What about between the two rookies, Drake May or Caleb Williams?
Drake May. Drake May was the better football player last year over Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams in a solid situation. We'll see what happens with Ben Johnson. But Drake May did more with less. So I will go with Drake May. I think he's a better leader.
All right. What about Dak Prescott or Tua Tagovailoa?
This is the toughest one. Because Tua showed his value this year when he missed games because the Dolphins sucked without him. And also, you can say the same with Dak Prescott, right? Getting hurt too. Oh, that's so tough. I'm going to go Tua just because he's younger. And I know it's like a cop-out answer, but I think we've seen the best version of Dak Prescott already. I don't think that Tua gets that much better than what we've already seen, but maybe with a little bit more time, and if he could stay healthy, there's a higher gear. But I think they're very similar quarterbacks. Both are highly paid. Both are good, but I don't think either are great. I would slightly go Tua over Dak. But if you ask me that question tomorrow, I could say potentially Dak over Tua. Next one.
All right. What about Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Easy. Justin Fields. And I know that the Steelers had this decision this year, and they ended up going back to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, he's a fine quarterback in this league. I would rather take the gamble on a younger Justin Fields and then see what Justin Fields can become for an entirety of the season. So that's the way that I answer that. Younger, and I still don't know what he could be as a quarterback, where I know Russ is going to be fine. He's not a top 10 quarterback anymore in this league, but you're not going to end up winning anything of significance with Russell Wilson anymore.
What about Jordan Love or C.J. Stroud?
Besides Dak or Tua, that could then be the next toughest one. I'm going to say Stroud. I just think there's been a more consistent product the last 2 years compared to Jordan Love. Jordan Love, the first half of that first year as a starter, he wasn't good. Then he was sensational down the stretch with 20 touchdowns, 1 interception. This past year, I think that the Packers learned they need to go get a bona fide number one wide receiver, because this by committee, it could work, but it doesn't work to the level that you need to go win a championship. But I would go C.J. Stroud, because C.J. Stroud, similarly to Love, like, right, didn't play his best in year 2. C.J. Stroud, though, still won a playoff game when Jordan Love did go home in the first round. So I take C.J. Stroud over Jordan Love.
All right, last one, Justin Herbert or Brock Purdy?
I go Herbert. I just think he's the more talented quarterback. Brock Purdy's won more games in this league. Brock Purdy has won more playoff games. Justin Herbert's ever won one. But if you ask the Niners, you said for one season, would you rather have Brock Purdy? Would you rather have Justin Herbert? You know Kyle Shanahan would rather have Justin Herbert. So I will go Herbert on that one. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll take our final break of the day. When we come on back, the franchise tag window is officially open, and it goes until March 4th. You have the decision if you're going to tag someone. There's a lot of speculation on what the Vikings will do. I'll tell you what they'll do next. Update time first. Here's Zach. So remember those two dingbats on Bourbon Street? What a way to come back from break, by the way. It is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes Sr. and John Rocker. Remember when we saw that bizarre video and it looked like they were about to throw down, but you knew they actually weren't going to throw down? Because this is what I hate. If you're going to get into an altercation, at least get into the fight. Don't do the, oh, I'll kick your ass, and then one person's in between you, and you start to get all big with your chest and all like all puffy and hold me back and all that stuff. But it just was such a weird video. And I'll give credit down the hall. Evan Roberts said to me, that's got to be staged. And then we found out that Dave Portnoy, who I love, right? Barstool Sports. You know, I love Barstool's content. Well, Dave Portnoy, then a few days after that goes, oh, I signed John Rocker and Pat Mahomes Sr. to a rough and rowdy, which rough and rowdy, they have like this, it's basically boxing that Barstool has a piece in and they do all these events. So they've had like Jose Canseco do this before. Canseco was so lame. Yeah, I think he like faked an injury or something like that. He just did a money grab. You know, maybe the syringe fell out of his back pocket and that's what happened. So Pat Mahomes Sr. and John Rocker are going to do a rough and rowdy. So, right, when that happens, some people go, oh, it was staged, oh, it was rigged. Or the altercation back at the Super Bowl, maybe post that, kind of sparked it, and then it came rather quickly, but then quickly you had a fight agreed to. Not kind of like believe this fight's going to happen when it does, but, you know, John Rocker is probably desperate. And Pat Mahomes Sr., you know, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm telling my family, shut the hell up. The brother shut the hell up and the father shut the hell up. Because Pat Mahomes is such a likable guy until you meet his father and you meet his brother, if we're just being honest. So Pat Mahomes Sr. has had his fair share of issues, obviously. A lot of drinking and driving. So this article's out today in the New York Post. Pat Mahomes Sr. and John Rocker had a Barstool Sports paycheck in their eyes long before getting into a viral video. Mahomes, the father of Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes and a former Met pitcher, got into a scuffle with Rocker, the controversial ex-Braves reliever while in New Orleans during Super Bowl week, and it was all for show, Mahomes admitted in court. It was a stage altercation to get publicity for a celebrity boxing match that was set to take place in April of 2025, Mahomes Sr. said when he was questioned about his trip to New Orleans by officials on February 13th. According to TMZ Sports. So there you go. So Mahomes Sr. is on probation, but received permission to travel to Louisiana to watch his son and take on the Eagles on February 9th. The trip caused him to miss a urine test, leading to his meeting with officials. A copy of Rough and Rowdy's contract was attached to the court document showing Mahomes Sr. has signed on to fight at the Barstool Sports event on January 17th is when he signed on, weeks before the viral altercation with Rocker. You know what? Dave Portnoy's a genius, right? It's easy once you see that altercation happen. Oh, let's get them into a ring and do rough and rowdy. But how the heck did not only he come up with that idea of John Rocker up against Pat Mahomes Sr. and agree onto it on January 17th? That's the mind-blowing part to me. Not that it was staged, that they had this agreed to and they got both of these guys to agree. You know what? It's funny. If you have Pat Mahomes on the show, you don't think if you said it, you could only get one question to him. But I think the one question would be, at this point, like, how do you defend your dad? I get it. It's his dad. He's always going to love his dad. But you have your father going into a celebrity or whatever, there's a charity boxing match, you know, for rough and rowdy or whatever it is. It's like, you know, and that's what you're doing? Pat Mahomes is worth all this money. If Pops really needs the money, you could give it to him. But maybe they've had to disassociate in terms of those things. You see your dad, but you can't give him anything because he keeps on screwing everything up. So if you had to gather here, Stu, how much do you think Pat Mahomes Sr., if I'm reading this article right, is going to make from this fight for rough and rowdy? If you had to take a guess.
Oh, let's see. Let's say $100,000.
He's making $85,000. That's chump change to Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes Sr., that's a lot of money. Stu and I, that's a lot of money. If I'm Pat Mahomes, and maybe you just can't trust your father anymore, because God forbid, right, you cut him a check, then he goes to a bar, gets in a car, and then kills someone, like, that would be the worst thing. But $85,000, it's embarrassing for Pat Mahomes Sr. But I'll tell you, I will watch. I will watch John Rocker up against Pat Mahomes Sr. Like I don't know about you, Samter, knowing that this was stage, and I don't think this is really up your alley anyway to begin with, but knowing this is stage, does this take away from this fight now that's going to occur?
Of course. Of course. It's all about the money. It seemed like at the very least, like, Rocker has this reputation that he's developed over years.
Of being a jerk?
Of being a jerk, and like, it was nice to see someone kind of stand up to him. And I mean, listen, Pat Mahomes looked kind of scrawny compared to him, so it looked like he'd get his butt whipped anyway. But it was still kind of cool to, like, see someone stand up to this guy who ripped my city, you know, a decade and a half ago, talking about the people going to the Mets games and everything.
John Rocker's going to kick his ass,
by the
way.
I can't stand John Rocker. So I wanted to see someone kick his ass. And so now that I know that this is staged, it's nonsense.
Well, the actual fight's going to happen. And I don't know what you can expect from the fight, but that's an actual fight that's going to occur. But it's funny that you're at the Super Bowl, right? You are the father of one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and you're a former professional athlete yourself. So you go to the Super Bowl while on probation. This is one of the all-time great stories. He's on probation, and you go there knowing you got a fight in your back pocket already agreed to on January 17th. Nobody knows about it. So Pat Mahomes is probably sitting in his hotel room getting ready for the Super Bowl. He sees his dad, like a jackass, because that's what his father is, in the streets with another jackass in John Rocker. And they're about like two bulls going up against each other, right? And the next thing you know, a few days later, ta-da! they have this fight that was already agreed to. So, like, I don't think Pat Mahomes knew about his dad agreeing to this. And for $85,000, like, hey, Pat Mahomes can write that check in a second. What a bleep show. Seriously. What a bleep show. I feel bad for Pat Mahomes. Not senior. I'm talking about Pat Mahomes, the quarterback of the Chiefs. I feel bad for him. Because his dad is a knucklehead. Seriously. He is a knucklehead. There's no other way to say it. Oh, my. He can't prevent himself from making news during Super Bowl week. And it's never for something good. Never for something good. And the Eagles were actually annoyed. They used that as, remember a few years ago after the parade, you have every right to do this. He's like, I'm smoking on that Philly pack. Gilly at the championship parade, who's a Barstool employee. Gilly at the after party for the Eagles, when Big X the Plug was playing, he goes, I've been waiting 2 years to say this. Hey, Patrick Mahomes Sr., you said you're smoking on that Philly pack. Now we're smoking on you. Oh, it was wonderful. And the Eagles, like, used that as motivation. My, oh, my. How about that? Really something. I guess I'll watch that fight, though. We love to be entertained by stupidity. That's stupid. And Portnoy looks like a genius in all of this. Now, the franchise tag window opened up about an hour, 50 minutes ago. Adam Schefter said, starting today through Tuesday, March 4th, teams can designate franchise tags or transitional tags for transitional players. It is expected to be a quiet tag cycle with minimal tag options. These are the three he puts out there. T. Higgins, I expect that to happen unless they get a new deal done by March 4th. The Vikings, Byron Murphy Jr. or Sam Darnold, and the Chiefs guard Trey Smith. I don't think the Vikings are tagging Sam Darnold. Now, I know, right, we saw Matt Castle once get tagged and then eventually traded for a second-round pick, and Matt Castle was sent to Kansas City along with Mike Vrabel. But I think the Vikings are going to let Sam Darnold walk. I do. I think they're going to let him walk. You get back a compensatory third pick, right? Third round pick. And they drafted J.J. McCarthy in the top 10. They traded up one spot to get J.J. McCarthy. So we've seen Kevin O'Connell work with Kirk Cousins, let him walk. We've seen him also work with Sam Darnold. I believe he's going to let him walk. So if he's been able to make it work with those two, someone that he drafted in the top 10, you're telling me they're going to bring back Sam Darnold for a year? You know, could they tag him and then trade him? I guess that's possible. But I don't think you're going to get much back for him. So I really do believe they'll just let Darnold walk and they'll go, okay, we'll figure out the compensatory value and get probably a third-round pick back for him. That's what I think ends up happening. But I would be surprised if they end up tagging Sam Darnold. And I do believe that the Vikings are going to hand the baton over to J.J. McCarthy. All righty, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network on a Tuesday. Coming up tomorrow, from the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles had a pick six in the Super Bowl, Cooper DeJean is going to join us. An exciting white, right? That's what they call them, the exciting whites, with Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship of the Eagles. So very excited to talk to a man that had a pick six in the Super Bowl. And good show today. Big thanks to Avante Maddox for stopping by. We also did a bunch on that Ross Dellinger college football playoff expansion story. It looks like it's going either 14 or 16 teams with the Big Ten and the SEC getting a guaranteed four teams each and every year. We reviewed Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft and also did a little QB exercise a few moments ago. So that will do it for us today. Big thanks to Stu. Big thanks to Samter. You can always give me a follow on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. And we appreciate you listening to us right here on the Infinity Sports Network across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and always streaming live on YouTube. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.